Let's get to our foundational scripture for the teaching zone. Wisdom from the teaching or ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody like wisdom?
Yes. Yes.
We can get some from Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Do I need to cast down anything? Amen. Verse number 30 from the New Living Translation. Portions A and B of that scripture we will use for our foundational scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. Portions A and B from the New Living Translation, please. And it says, God, somebody say God.
God.
God has united you, somebody say us, with Christ Jesus. The reason is, for our benefit, God made him being Jesus, to be what? Wisdom itself. So God made Jesus himself for our benefit to be wisdom. Say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wisdom, simply knowledge. Wisdom here is simply knowledge and understanding from God that we can apply in our everyday lives. Amen. The Bible talks about earthly wisdom. The Bible talks about heavenly wisdom. The wisdom that we receive from God, we term it as heavenly wisdom. Say heavenly wisdom.
Heavenly.
Now, last week from the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse number 35, Jesus gave us some wisdom that we can live by. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We learn from just that one verse, this, somebody say this. We learned that our attitudes, that is, the way that we think or act, comes from that which has been deposited, say deposited, in our minds, that is, our psychological core, through what we've seen and heard throughout our lifetimes. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the way that we act, the way that we behave, what we do, and what we say, it comes from that which has been deposited into our psychological core, that is our mind, throughout our lifetime. Amen. You were not just made yesterday. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your makeup has been a compilation. Say compilation.
Compilation.
Of your life. Any behavior that you display in this earth realm, you've learned. We've learned. We've learned by way of hearing. We've learned by way of seeing. Somebody say seeing. You remember when we went through this period where all the women was doing this? It's because of what they saw somewhere, amen. Or when we went through a period of time where everybody was saying the same thing, it was based upon what we heard, amen. So every behavior that we display in the earth realm, in these terrestrial bodies or these physical bodies that we live in, is a result of something that we've seen or heard, amen. If you cuss like a sailor, you heard it somewhere, amen. Say amen.
Amen.
If you speak sweet nothings to everybody that you meet, you've heard it somewhere. If you minister grace to the hearers, it's because you've been in an environment where grace was ministered to you. Amen.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And a lot of our good habits we've learned by way of watching people or from the Word of God. Amen. So our attitudes, say attitudes.
Attitude.
Attitudes being our way of thinking and our way of behaving came from something that was deposited in us as we walked this walk in the earth realm. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the wisdom that we learned last week. And we talked about a lot of other things in conjunction to that.
Yes.
So you can download the sermon so that you can get the rest of it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So our attitudes, whether they're good or bad, we've learned from somewhere. Now he is the wisdom for the day. And I'll show it to you in the word in just a minute. If your attitudes are good, we can get better. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If our attitudes are bad, we can get better. If our attitudes are good, we surround ourselves with the wrong people, wrong material, our attitudes can go backward. Amen.
Amen.
So it's up to us how our attitudes, our way of thinking, our way of acting progress, or they go backward. Amen. Our wisdom from today will be found in the book of Matthew again, chapter 12, verse number 33. And I need that from the King James translation. Do I have your attention? Because there are some very important things we'll tell you today. Amen. Somebody said, Jesus is our wisdom. If we're going to learn anything about living in the earth realm, we learn from the author and the finisher. Amen. Jesus, whether you know it or not, Jesus knows everything. Amen. He knows how to help us when we need help. And he knows how to change us when we need to be changed. Amen. But in order for us to change, there's a couple of things that we need to recognize. One, we need to recognize that there's something wrong with us that needs changing. Amen. And number two, we need to recognize that Jesus can change us if we partner with him to make the change happen. Amen. Now, oftentimes we think that things are going to automatically happen. And in some cases, things do happen as we grow. Somebody say amen. Or as we get old, amen. But for the most part, if we want present change, there has to be a working along with Jesus in order for that to happen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus says to the Pharisees. You remember the Pharisees was the one who thought they had it all together because they had heard some teaching from the religious leaders, amen. And their teaching caused them to be in conflict with the giver of the law, amen. I think y'all missed that. Their teachings caused them to be in conflict with Jesus Christ, who gave the law in the beginning, amen. So Jesus is telling them, look, you can get better, you can get worse, amen. I don't want you, the book of Revelation calls it this way, he don't want you lukewarm, amen. He wants us cold or hot, amen. He wants us on or off, somebody say amen. He wants us on his way or off his way, amen. Not in the middle of the road. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus Christ said. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else, yes, sir, make the tree corrupt and his fruit what? Corrupt. For the tree is known by what?
Fruit.
Somebody say his fruit.
Fruit.
Now, here's some things that we need to understand about Jesus. In Jesus' teaching, he used a lot of parabolic language. And in Jesus' teaching, he also used a lot of metaphoric language. So you know, last week I told you about the reed, the broken reed Jesus won't discard. The broken reed represented people that were hurt, broken. You remember I also told you about the smoldering flack of the candle that's about to burn, the wick is about to burn out. And that represented the person who's about to lose hope. Jesus wasn't going to take that hope away, amen. That's not the only metaphoric language that he used in Matthew chapter 12. Okay. Here is a metaphoric language. He says, make the tree good. Yeah. What are you talking about, Jesus? Talking about a tree. Is the Pharisees is acting up? Why are you talking about a tree? Because I'm using some metaphoric language. Amen. He says, make the tree good and what? His fruit good. Tree is metaphoric for people. Or a person. Somebody say person.
Person.
Jesus parallels us with trees, not just any kind of trees, but fruit-bearing trees.
Yes.
Trees that are planted in the ground.
Yes.
And as they grow up, fruit sprout from the tree. Amen. So when Jesus used the terminology tree right there, he's not talking about a tree. He's talking about a person or persons. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So he says either make the person good, say good,
good.
And his fruit good. Mm-hmm. The word good is used metaphorically for the word godly. Somebody say godly.
God.
Jesus is saying that the person can be made godly. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
He says make the person godly and his fruit what?
God.
Somebody say godly.
God.
Yes. Fruit is metaphoric for the behavior of a person.
Yes.
Or what a person says.
Yes.
Amen. So your behavior can be bad. You can have a stank attitude, glory to God. But you can change that attitude if you use the material that God has given us to use to change the attitude, amen. Somebody say amen. And then he talks about you can make the tree corrupt. Corrupt is symbolic for bad, even evil, amen. Now, the person can be corrupt, can be made bad or evil based upon the company that they surround themselves with or based upon the environment that they find themselves in, amen. You remember the Pharisees? Their teaching was corrupt. As a matter of fact, Jesus called it leaven, which means evil teaching in the context that he called it leaven. Somebody say amen. What made it evil? It was contrary to what God said, glory to God.
Yes.
So when it was contrary to what God said, it was not good but evil, amen.
Yes.
So based upon the company that you keep, I need to say that a lot.
Yes.
Based upon the people that we hang around with, guess what?
Yes.
The tree and the fruit can get bad or evil, amen. Yes. He says, make the tree corrupt and his fruit will also be corrupt, amen.
Mm-hmm.
For the tree is known by what?
Its fruit.
Somebody say by what it says?
His
by what?
Fruit.
Somebody say he is.
He is.
He is. Help you understand that the tree is talking about his person.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
So we can get better or we can get worse.
Yes.
Now the Pharisees are a big part of this Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is saying that the Pharisees can get better. They can get good. But in order for the Pharisees to get better, the first thing they're going to have to do is be born again. In order for the Pharisees to display godly behavior, the first thing they had to do is to be born again. Somebody say born again.
Born again.
And in order for them to be born again, say born again.
Born again.
They have to receive the teacher who's teaching. Somebody said Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Say the anointed one.
The
you know, the Bible says you can't be born again unless you're first born of the flesh.
Yes.
You got to be born physically, and then you got to be born of the spirit in order for you to be born again, amen.
Uh-huh.
Again denotes another birth, amen. Somebody say a new birth.
A new birth.
You received a new birth when you accepted Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. God made you over on the inside. God made us over on the inside so that we can receive his teachings or receive his word or receive that which he desires for us as a people. Amen. So in order for the Pharisees to become godly in their talking, godly in their behavior, they had to, one, be born again. Somebody say born again. Two, in order for the Pharisees to become godly in their behavior, they had to have a mind renewal. Somebody say mind renewal. What they've been taught already, don't cut it. And we can see it didn't cut it by their action. Say action. So they have to be born again. Two, the mind has to be renewed.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I've talked a lot about mind renewal in these last 20 years. So you ought to have a good idea of what mind renewal is.
Yes.
But just in case, we probably need to talk about it a little bit today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the Pharisees, in order for them to display godly behavior. Say godly behavior. And one thing we need to always remember is this: we can be like God. We can be like God in character and in action. Somebody say in action. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, real quickly. Let me make this point, then I move on. Because a lot of us just don't think we can be like God. See, some of us have put God way up here. So far up. Until we think we can't be like him. Can I help you today? Why is he way up there? When he's writing here. Uh-oh, I got to work a little bit. Why is he way up there and he's writing here? Why is he way up there when he's writing here? God the Father is up there. God the Son is up there. But God the Holy Spirit is right here. Amen. And he needs to be right here so he can help us be like God. Amen. Look, you got a piece of divinity on the inside of you. Amen. You got a piece of God on the inside of you. Amen. That's why you can act like God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now, if you don't have that piece of God on the inside of you, you might need to be born again. Because when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and set up his residence on the inside of us. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now let me help you a little further. I'm not the preacher who's going to preach to you to medicate you where you are, to make you feel bad or make you feel good in your trouble situations. Amen. I'm not going to talk much about him being a bridge over troubled water. Amen. A rock in a weary land. I'm not going to talk much about that, but I'm going to talk or teach you in a way where it'll provoke you to think and provoke you to change. Am I talking to the right house? So the Holy Ghost lives here. You know, Joshua was talking about joy this morning. Somebody said joy. Since the Holy Ghost lives here, you ought to be in a state of joy most of the time. Amen. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And another fruit of the Spirit is joy. Somebody said
joy.
You know, I don't understand why we're always in turmoil if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Because another fruit is peace. Amen. So if he's on the inside of us, he's producing fruit on the inside of us, which means all we got to do is submit to the fruit that's being produced, and it'll change our attitude. Amen. Am I talking to the right house? When we walk in the Spirit or walk in the fruit that's being produced in us by the Holy Spirit, we look like God then. Amen. God ain't no prune face. God ain't no sad God. God don't hate nobody. Now, he's a just God. He's a God of justice. But he don't hate nobody, but he hates some works. Somebody say works. He hates sin. Somebody say sin. But he don't hate nobody. God so loved the world. Amen. So when we walk in love, we look like God. When we walk in peace, we look like God. God is a God of peace. Amen. When we walk in joy, we look like God. God is a God of joy. Amen. Faithfulness, we look like God, and the list goes on and on, and the Spirit of God produces all this on the inside of us. Amen. So why are we sourpuss looking Christians? Amen. Why are we always walking around with our heads bowed down? Amen. Why are we always in a defeated state when we got the living Spirit of God living on the inside of us? Amen. That can help us be like God. Amen. If you get in a sad place, you ought to call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, produce some joy. I need some joy. Amen. If you get in a place of turmoil, you need to call the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need some peace. Amen. He's right. You ain't got to pray up there. Just talk right here. Amen. Because he's right on the inside of us. Amen. Now, to some of y'all, this sounds like heresy, but it's the truth. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives here. Okay, I got to work a little bit. Say work a little bit. Go to John chapter 7. Now, y'all done got me all the way off my message. Because I got to work a little bit. Because I got to get you to believe what the word says. John chapter 7, I think around verse number 39. Verse number 38, back up one. Listen to what he says. This is Jesus teaching. Say Jesus teaching.
Jesus.
Jesus was a mighty teacher. And if you want to learn anything about God, you need to take a look at Jesus, amen. Because he came to make God known unto us, amen. Incomplete God, Old Testament, complete God, New Testament, amen. Jesus came to show us what God was all about, amen. So God wants us to be empowered with his power so that we can produce let me say it this way, so that what he's all about can be produced in us so that we can live it on the outside, amen. So he gave us the power, which is called the Holy Ghost, amen. He that believeth, say believe it. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of, not dead, stagnant water, but living water, amen. Water that causes you to live, glory to God, while you're in the body, amen. Water refreshes, water revives, water restores. So the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us, refreshing us, reviving us, so that we can look like God. Somebody say amen. Next verse. But this spake Jesus of the who? Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Say should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So at this time when Jesus taught this, the Holy Ghost wasn't given to everybody. Amen. Now he was present in the earth realm moving on a few people. Amen. But not on everybody. Jesus had to go back to heaven in order for the Holy Ghost to be sent for everybody. Somebody say amen. So if you're a believer, the Holy Ghost live on the inside of you. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Y'all working me. Give me a raise. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just cutting up now. You know, I like to laugh. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. Lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Yeah.
And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Amen. Smile.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Lord.
Smile.
Yes, sir.
Listen. Know ye not, listen, that ye are what?
The temple of God.
What's a temple? A dwelling place.
Uh-huh.
Dwelling place. Dwelling place. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that what? The Spirit of God dwelleth where?
In you.
Where does he dwell in you?
In my belly.
Stop eating so much so he can breathe. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19. Y'all stop smothering the Holy Ghost. He got to breathe. Yes, sir, I go there too. What? Now, you got to read what's happening before this. These folks were doing some of everything. One of the main things they were doing was hooking up, having unlawful sex. And having unlawful sex caused a defilement of the temple. Okay, y'all act like y'all don't hear me. And he said, what? Y'all carrying on like this? Go back one verse. Let me prove to you. Flee fornication. That's unlawful sex, amen. Okay, for those of y'all who didn't know, God only ordained sex for marriage, amen. We're only supposed to be getting it on if we're married, amen.
Yeah.
She said, what? God knew that we were going to miss it. That's why he made some provisions for the missing. But listen, come on back. Sex was created by God for procreation, for enjoyment. What did he say? What she said? In Jesus' name. Help her to hold on, Lord. Help her to hold on until her chains come. Amen. And it was made for married folks. Amen. Lord, send her a husband, a good husband, in Jesus' name. You yet holding on? keep on keeping on, baby. Amen. Somebody say amen. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned what? Against his own body. Then he goes to the next verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Can I raise a question?
Yes.
Who are you connecting the Holy Ghost to?
My Lord.
Come on, God.
Provoke you to thought. Now, the Holy Ghost is powerful. If he worked against your will, he'd make you get up every time you started.
Yes, sir.
But because he don't work against your will, it's going to be up to us to hear him and obey him, amen. And he's speaking to somebody now. Don't you wish sometimes God would just break down the door and make us do stuff right? A lot of us will stay out of a lot of trouble, amen. But because he created us with a will. I mean, God created us like him. He has a will. He created us with a will. You know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. God created them with a will. And with their will, they went against his will. And when they went against his will, they received judgment and got kicked out of the garden. Amen. Now. Now, going against his will won't cause you judgment anymore because Jesus took the judgment.
Okay.
I said Jesus took the judgment.
Yeah.
But going against his will could cause you some consequences.
Yeah.
And don't put that on God. I said don't put that on God.
Yeah.
I said again, don't put that on God.
Yeah.
God didn't make you do what you did.
Yeah.
And God ain't bringing the consequences, amen. Yeah. It's a principle in the earth realm. Say principle. You know, whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
Yes.
If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, you're going to reap what? Corruption or something evil.
Yes.
So God's not doing it. He's not bringing the consequences. He just put the principle in the earth realm. That's right, baby. Amen, amen, amen. He said amen when he even gave me five. Amen. Oh, I got to go high. You're stealing my time.
Okay. There you go.
So what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in where? You. Which ye have of God. And this is for all of us that think I'm my own, I do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And ye are not your own, amen.
Yeah.
When the Holy Ghost live on the inside of you, he's the own, amen. Now, this is the good thing about the new covenant. You can mess up, and the Holy Spirit won't evict himself from you. Amen. He ain't going nowhere. I said he ain't going nowhere. Amen. But he'll stop working. I said he'll stop working. The reason why he's not going anywhere, because he sealed you until the day of redemption. Amen. He got to stay there until Jesus come back for you. Amen. But he'll stop working. Amen. He'll stop working because you quenched him. You put his fire out by continuously dumping dirt on top of him, dirt being sinful behavior, amen. So he'll stop working.
Yeah.
You'll start thinking, where the Holy Ghost went? He's not going anywhere. He's on the inside. But we just stopped him from working. Some of y'all don't like this preaching, amen.
Good,
Verse number 20. We're going to teach truth. Verse number 20.
Amen.
Verse number 20. You're not your own. This is what he says next. For ye are what?
Bought with a price.
Because you're bought with a price, what you need to do?
Glorify God in your
body. And where else?
In your spirit.
Which is what?
God.
Which belongs to who? So, translation, We're supposed to honor him with these bodies that we live in. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Aren't you glad that God don't strike you down every time you do wrong? Aren't you glad that God don't strike you down every time you carry his Holy Spirit somewhere he don't want it to go? I'm so glad that he's merciful. But at some point, we ought to, you know, grow up. The Bible talks about the fact that the saint don't keep on sinning. At some point, we should stop. So, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can be like God. We must be like God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Give me that in the New Living Translation. So stop saying you can't be like Jesus. Okay, I got to do that too, Lord. Okay, I'll do that. I'm all off this message now. But you're going to get it. You're going to get it if you get it next week, amen. Stop saying you can't be like Jesus. Can I help you? You have what you say. If you keep saying you can't be like Jesus, chances are you might not be like him. I was reading the book this week. I love to read a book because I learned so much. You know, I've said this. Practice make perfect. Have you ever heard me say that? Practice don't make perfect. Practice make habit. Practice make habit. Anything you practice long enough, it becomes a habit. Whether it's good or bad. Thank y'all. Help me preach. You practice lying long enough, it's a habit. You be lying and don't even know you lying. Amen. Because it's a habit. It's a habit. If you become a giver, you practice giving, the next thing you know, it'll be a habit. Every time somebody say they need something, you go in your pocket because it became a habit. Practice make habit. If you practice being like Jesus, it can become a habit. Now, Satan's going to come and try to stop you.
That's right.
Because he don't want you to act like Jesus.
All right.
But if you practice being like Jesus, it'll become a habit. This is for all of us who don't believe we can be like God. Imitate God. I almost said mammy. And I shouldn't say that while I'm preaching, amen. Some of us have acted like our ungodly parents. Okay, y'all knew where I was going at first, amen. Some of us have imitated our ungodly parents.
Come on,
Pastor. I'll probably get to this next week. I was, you know, some scripture. I was reading this week. I can't get it all in today. I can't get it all in today. But I was reading some Jesus' teaching. And I paralleled it with some of my mama's teaching before she started renewing her mind in the word. Because she'd been saved. She was saved a long time. God bless you, mama. But my mama's teaching was contrary to Jesus' teaching. In most of our environments, we've heard things contrary to Jesus' teaching. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies and your friends. Mama said, if they hate you, you hate them. You know, Jesus said, if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Mama said, if that person hits you, you hit them back. Well, that ain't Jesus' teaching. See, you need to work on being like Jesus. You shout it. You call my attention any day. Any day you can be like him, amen. Any day. Can I help y'all today?
Okay.
Okay, let me tell you one more thing Mama said. Jesus said, give to anybody who asks. Mama said, let them work for themselves and make their own money, amen. Contrary to Jesus' teaching. Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly. I got tested last week. And I flunked. I love Publix. I love to go to Publix. I buy fruit and everything from Publix. So I was in Publix parking lot. Man, this makes it good right here. You know, you turn in to the turn in, and then you turn into a parking space. Well, it was a lady. She was turned in to the turn in like this. She was on this side. And I saw the car getting ready to back out to give her the space. So I went around her on this side. Well, that's the right side to go around on the right, don't you? She should have been on the right side because she was waiting on the park. So she left the right side vacant, so I went around on the right side. She laid on the horn. Some other people were walking down, and they just threw their hands up. I threw mine up, too. I parked the car, got out, start walking. Not the same spot. I didn't take her spot. No. Oh, wait a minute. Thank you, baby. Thank you for helping. I didn't take her spot. I went to the next available spot. Y'all thought I had taken the lady's spot. I ain't do that. Listen to the rest of the story. I got out of the car, and I was walking in the store, and I heard this lady calling something about all kind of names. Instead of me keep walking, I bagged up. I said, are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. She wasn't a sister. She wasn't.
She was not.
So you know all kinds of things going through my mind based upon the climate that we live in now, amen. Yeah. She said, you're ignorant. I said, who are you talking to? You talking to me? She said, yes, you're ignorant. And then she called me the B word, not the female, but the male word. And then I said to her, I ain't talking about her mom. Let me tell the story. I was there, you know. No, I shouldn't have. That's not Christ-like.
That's not Christ-like.
And that's what I'm trying to teach us how to be as Christ-like. And I'm trying to tell y'all I missed it. I told the lady, I said, lady, you need to be careful what you say to people. I ain't calling no names or nothing. She called me ignorant again. You could have killed somebody. I said, how could I could have killed somebody if there wasn't nobody out there for me to kill? She said, you're just ignorant. I said to her, if I'm ignorant, what does that make you? And then she called me something else. I said, I ain't going to take too many more of your names. I lost it. I never did curse. I never did say, you know, the real flesh didn't come up. But I missed it. I went on in the store. The next thing I know, she was on the side of me. Not necessarily. This was my test.
Yeah.
I said, let me get out of this store before I say something or do something that I shouldn't say or do. Later on in the week, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what should I have done? He ain't saying nothing. I think it was last night, the night before, like, I'm laying in the bed. He said, you should have walked on by and never said anything to the lady. And then you wouldn't have been in that predicament.
Yeah.
See, we need to learn how to agree with our adversaries quickly. And sometimes we can agree by not saying anything to them, amen.
Yes,
sir. Yes,
sir.
That's a big test. So, you know, not only did Mama teach me some things that was contrary to what Jesus teach, I knew what to do and fell short of his glorious standard. Can I help somebody?
Help us.
When you mess up, don't try to justify it. Just say you messed up and try to get it right the next time. I saw a car that looked like that lady car in Sam's. I started, keep going in, man. But if I would have, If I would have seen her, I probably would apologize to her for the way that I acted.
Okay.
And she might have went off or she might have accepted it, but I would have done my part. So we can be like God. We can be like God. Imitate God, therefore, in everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything
means everything. But you can't imitate him if you don't know what he would do.
My Lord, that's good.
You know, I'm an advocate of those bracelets. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to buy a bunch of them and give them to us. Amen.
Okay.
But when we look at the time, we ought to be able to see the bracelet. It ought to help us think about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Imitate God. Jesus told me to do. God told me to do a couple more things, and then we'll be done. Got this whole message for next week. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Why? Because you are his dear children. Dear children. If you can act like your earthly mom and dad, oh, I got it. You act like them because you raised around them. You act like them because you raised in the same environment that they were raised in. You need to spend some time in God's environment. This is a God environment. The Word is a God environment. You need some options for your behavior. We need some options for our behavior. Now, I'm going to say this because this is what I heard the Lord tell me to say. Okay, I'll say that too. We've made the Lord's church all about gimme, 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 and what I can get and what I can get. I want my stuff. I want my stuff. I call my stuff in the name of Jesus. And, you know, God got some stuff for us. But the goal of the church is not to get stuff. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. That you need to read about the things before the 633, amen. God won't take care of us. He won't give us some things. He won't give us a lot of stuff. But that shouldn't be our goal, to get the stuff. Our goal should be to be like Jesus Christ. I've taught you this before. Let me run it down real quickly one more time. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. Oh, let me do this real quick. You want me to do that, Lord? You shouldn't use everything that's happening in your life as an excuse for you to do everything you want to do. And deliver me from this preaching that says that God caused everything to happen in our life. Because I don't believe it did. I believe some of our problems are because of us. The Bible said we perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Some of it is a lack of knowledge. Thank you so much. He didn't cause it all to happen. We caused some of it to happen. But all of it happening ought to work for our good. We ought to learn something from it that will profit us and that will help somebody else.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
See, my story you should have learned from.
That's right.
You should have learned if you could have laid off or go around later.
Yes.
And she start cussing at you, just keep walking. Somebody say, keep walking.
Keep walking.
Everything that's happening in our lives, it ought to work for good.
Yeah. Yes.
Go to Romans 8:28, then we'll go to Romans 8:29. Not only that, but what if I would have got mad enough to hit that lady?
Yes.
Pastor went to jail. Slapped the Caucasian lady. Oh, that'll make the news. What you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Call in the television cameras. Here's a pastor that don't know how to act. I wanted to say Caucasian lady. Now she making the headline now. Let me get there. Verse number 28. But you should learn. You should learn. He says, this is what he says. And we know that what? God. No, I don't like that translation. Give me the King James translation. Because some of us will read that and believe God calls everything to happen. You think God calls me to be molested? You think God calls me to fall off the back of that truck I fell off of? You think God calls me setting myself on fire? You think God calls me sticking my hand in that safe, stealing that money that didn't belong to me? You think God caused all that stuff? But it worked together for good, amen. The consequences of me doing something was I got locked up for 2 hours, amen. But it worked together for good because I ain't never been back again, amen. I've been back. Yes, I have. I've been back, but I went back under her command.
Yeah.
I was a chaplain, not a inmate. Amen. Yeah. And we know that all things work together for good. Say for good. Should be profitable for living. Amen. Yeah. To them who what? Love God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
To them who are what? The call. According to his purpose. I'd have to preach a lot to get you to understand some of that, amen. Next verse, the purpose of the church. This is so good. For whom he foreknew, for whom he did foreknow, which is the same thing, he also what? Predestinate to be what?
Conform.
Say conform.
Conform.
Somebody say change.
Change.
Somebody say translated.
Translated.
Translated to the image of his Big Son,
yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That he might what? Be the first among how many brethren?
Many.
That's sistering too, amen.
Yes.
So God's goal for the church is for us to be like his Son. He gave his Son as an example so that we can look at the example of righteousness,
yes,
according to his standard, and then we can become like his Son to the world, amen.
Yes.
Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14.
Jesus.
This is going to help somebody. New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Go back to verse number 12, all the way to 12. And this is the Apostle Paul. Ooh, that's good, Jesus. That's good, Jesus. He says, Paul said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, which means perfection was his goal. Maturity, spiritual maturity, was his goal. Being like Christ was his goal. He says, but I press on because I hadn't made it yet. He says, I press on, listen, to possess that perfection, spiritual maturity, for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Let me throw in a preposition for. He said, I'm trying to get to what Jesus called me to get. And that's to be like his Son. Next verse. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. In order for me to grasp being like Jesus, I got to let some mess go, amen. I got to let some past mess go, amen. I know they mistreated you, but you got to let it go if you're going to be like Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Listen, they nailed Jesus to a whole cross for you and me, amen. You think Jesus held on to it? No. He, for the joy that was set before him, he put all that stuff down because he knew where he was going, amen. You got to put some stuff behind you because you know where you're going, amen. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ, amen. They hurt me. They hurt me too. I ain't hanging on to it because I don't want to get stuck nowhere, amen. I don't want we want to get stuck in the mud in my car, in my shoes, amen. I don't want to get stuck nowhere, so I let it go. Somebody say, let it go. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, amen. You can't go forward looking backward because then if you do, you might run into something and fall over, amen. You got to let it go.
Come on.
Yes.
I'm finna help somebody. Some of us can't love our counterparts because we holding on to what some of them did. Amen. You learn some of that from your environment. I'll talk about that next week. You didn't come here hating nobody. Somebody taught us some of this crap. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14. Yeah, I worked up a sweat right there. He says, I press on. But he leaves stuff behind the press. I couldn't press on. Oh, I ain't telling who it was. I couldn't press on to being like the person, to being Christ-like to the person that I was holding stuff against. And responding to that person out of what I was holding against. I couldn't press on to be like Christ with that person because I was holding on to something. I had to let it go. The Holy Ghost counseled me and said, let it go. That's what he is. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Y'all want to know what the heavenly prize is? Okay, we got an earthly goal and a heavenly goal. The earthly goal is to be like Jesus. The heavenly goal is to be like Jesus. Because you're going to be like Jesus in your glorified body when you get to heaven, amen. But you're going to be like him. The Bible says, well, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, real quick, and then I'm quit. I promise you. If you put me 45 more minutes on the clock, no, I'm just kidding. Amen. See how very much our Father loves us? Listen, for he calls us to be what? His children. And that is what we what? Are. No matter how you act, you're his children, amen. But he wants you to act like him. He says, but the people who belong to his to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't what? No intimate relationship with him. Next verse. Is there, dear friends, we are already God's children. That's settled. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But y'all do know when Christ is going to appear again, right? When he comes back for the church. When he comes back to rapture the church. I can teach you some other things about Christ showing up, too. Christ is walking in the midst of us right now. You just can't see him. That's why he knows what go on in the midst of the church, amen. Because in his exalted state, he's walking, the Revelation says, he's walking in the midst of us, amen. That's why he could correct all seven of those churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, amen, because he knew what was going on, because he could see and he was walking in the midst. I'll get to that. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he what?
Really is.
So we go, the earthly goal is to be like him, and the heavenly goal is to be like him. So stop that lying, you know, it's a sin, you know, doggone well, you can be like Jesus, amen. Because the scripture said it.
Yeah.
Who's that used to sing? I think I better let it go. Look, Teddy Pendergrass. Even Teddy Pendergrass knew when to let it go, amen. Another love, TKO. He got knocked out again, amen. He let it go. So the wisdom today is we can make the tree good. We can make the tree godly. But there's some other things I got to talk about next week that's going to help us to make the tree godly, to make the tree, us, God-like, to make us look like Jesus, to make us look like God the Father. Children is work. But it's a good word. Can I show you one more scripture?
Come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. It's work, but we got somebody working on the inside of us. See you, son. It must be 12 o'clock. Well, I need to stop preaching. So all of us who have had that veil removed, we don't look for the law to save us no more. We put our trust in Jesus Christ, so the veil's been lifted. Can see and reflect what?
The glory of the Lord.
Anybody know what the glory of the Lord is? It's the visible image or presence of God. Jesus was full of glory.
Yeah.
Him being full of glory, he looked just like God.
Okay.
The scripture said he was the image of the invisible God.
Yeah.
See, I got to stop going to scripture because I have to teach too much to try to get it understood.
Yeah.
And the Lord, who is who?
The Spirit.
Now y'all going on. Makes us more and more like him as we are changed into what?
His glorious image.
The Holy Spirit, who is Jesus,
yes,
is working on the inside of us, making us more and more like Jesus every day. Give it to me in the King James translation. Somebody says
it's a process.
Real quick. He's changing us from glory, one visible image of himself,
yes,
to glory, a higher visible image of himself. So we just learn how to work with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us.
Yes,
we shall be changed. Amen.
Be
does it make sense to us?
Yeah.
I think I preached long enough. You can still listen. I can still talk about some stuff. I'll just wait till next week because I'm just learning so much about me. I'm learning so much about how come I act the way I act sometimes. And what it's going to take for some of that to change. Let's pray. What do you want me to say, Lord? How many of y'all spend time in the presence of God every day?
Who? I do.
Okay, good. You may be seated. I want y'all to be funny, Larry. I want y'all to be funny. When you spend time in the presence of the Lord, who's doing all the talking? Okay. If you listen, he will talk. But some of us, in our prayer time, we want to do all the talking. And we don't spend a whole lot of time listening. I don't even know what you call my prayer time. I call it my presence, my time in the Lord's presence. And then I study still after that. And sometimes in my time in God's presence, I don't ask for nothing. I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Actually, that time is Holy Spirit led. I say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I pray in the Spirit sometime. And then when the Holy Spirit convicts me to close my mouth, I just sit there in his presence. The next thing you know, he's telling me something. I've got a whole message just sitting in his presence. We need to learn to sit in his presence. But that's going to take some time, which means we're going to have to learn how to set aside some time to sit in his presence. But Pastor, I don't have time. I beg to differ with you.
Yeah.
Y'all know what time I go to bed? No, I go to bed at 8:30 now. You know why? So I can have time to spend in his presence. Because you know I still got another job. And I have to be there at a certain time. So if I'm going to spend time in his presence every morning, I have to make plans on the back end. So on the front end, I can be fresh enough to hear what he has to say to me. Yeah. That's how important God got to come, got to become to us. I can look at some more TV. I can look at some more HGTV. Mm-hmm. That's about all I'm going to look at, HGTV or some more Family Feud, because this day on to about 10. But I cut off. Because my time in the presence of God is more valuable to me than looking at a little bit more TV. And a lot of times it's just a rerun. I can catch it the next day. So God has to become as valuable to us as our cars and our pretty clothes. Because you'll spend a lot of time shopping. You spend a lot of time washing that car. And it's a perishable thing. They are perishable things. Our time with God has to become first fruit or first and foremost. Ain't no more in the person. Let's pray.